In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I think several of you may know, that my family and I are staying with Andrea's mom for the time being, in that the transfer to this amazing and beautiful community came rather quickly towards the end of the summer. We wanted to have the children situated in their schools and did not want to undergo the stress of hastily getting into a home. So we're staying at Yaya's house for a while. And there's one thing that I have noticed that the children have adopted to very quickly in Yaya's house, and that is to be instant fans of HGTV. Especially my 12-year-old and my 8-year-old. So the television has gone from continually playing when they were allowed to watch television, the Disney Channel, ESPN, and Nickelodeon, to looking forward to Tiny House Builders, Spice Up My Kitchen, and Renovation Raiders. I did not see this coming, I have to tell you. Now, one thing that all of these reality shows have in common is this simple fact, that whatever project everyone decides to get into and to tear into starts out simply and then very quickly becomes more of a challenge, somewhat of a disaster, a saved challenge, and then a beautiful masterpiece at the end. But again, suffice it to say simply, starts out easy, and then it gets really hard every single time. And of course, this dynamic relates very easily to our spiritual lives as well. Anything that we see on the surface of our Christian life, our Christian responsibilities, and our Christian action may seem quite easy. Easily to attain and to adapt and to put into practice. But rarely is it if we dig deeply and we become immersed and involved and we tear off that initial layer and see what is inside. More specifically, the way of the cross fits this exact dynamic. Last week, as we lifted up the commemorations and the understandings and the lessons of the Sunday before the Feast of the Cross, we were given an image, were we not? It was an image of the cross lifted up as a banner, as a sign, as a source of inspiration before us so that we could realize what was to come in the coming days, so that we could handle it and endure it with strength and with God's glory, the reality of this violent and heinous cross. Then as we progressed into the celebration of the feast itself, we have an entirely different image, do we not? The cross is not lifted up as a banner or as a source of inspiration, but our Lord's crucifixion itself. The act to be crucified. The events of the end of our Lord's earthly days. The means by which His life was violently broken and taken away from us in this world. So we see the progression on the difficulty. Nevertheless, for many of us, even as we hear this gospel reading, we still leave Christ on the cross alone. We aren't penetrated ourselves as of yet. But guess what, my dearly beloved in the Lord? That is what this Sunday is for. No longer to look at the cross simply as an adornment or a source of inspiration or the instrument of our Lord's crucifixion, but our crucifixion as well. We have none other than our Lord's words Himself to remind us of this. For He says, "If anyone wishes to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." If Jesus Christ is anything, He is brutally honest. None of us are lured into the sake of the gospel and the blessing and the commandments of the kingdom by any false pretense or any false promise. He didn't promise you comfort. He didn't promise us glory. He did not promise us popularity or wealth or strength. It's the inverse, actually, to take up His cross and to follow. What that means, quite simply, is that if we follow, we are regarded as a criminal in this world as He was. We will suffer the same fate due to righteousness as He did. We will suffer death in this world in order to be glorified and in order to glorify. So I have to ask, what makes this promise so attractive? Why would we want to follow a person, the God-man, who set out an opportunity merely of suffering, as the world at least sees it? We are a people who fight aging, who are sad when we break a nail, or are remiss when we miss a meal. Why would we follow Jesus Christ, who commands that we would follow his fate? And what of this cross, this instrument by which we will follow him? This cross that we are commanded to bear on our backs as well. A couple things I want to share with you about the reality of the cross, because this will help to endure and to strengthen and to give us that capability to follow where our Lord wants us to go, where he needs us to go in order for us to receive blessed salvation. The first reality of this cross is it has both a horizontal and a vertical axis. This is a reminder of relationships, my brothers and sisters in Christ. That horizontal axis of the cross reminds us that we are connected to one another. We look to our left, we look to our right. We look before us and behind us, there we see our fellow Christians who are working in this world unto salvation, not merely for ourselves, but for the entirety of the world. And of course, the vertical axis of the cross reminds us that we are not connected to him solely on the premise of this world, but upwardly, towards the heavens, towards his kingdom, towards his holy and heavenly dwelling place, where Jesus Christ has so rightfully been able to abide once again. Secondly, the cross is a transformative victory, a true victory, a complete victory, because it has been taken and transformed as an instrument of torture, of humiliation, and of a suffering death to the purest sign of glory and life and salvation. The trampling upon Hades began as our Lord was placed upon this cross. The cross, thirdly, is a universal symbol. It is one that is recognized. It is one that is exalted. It is one that is feared. And it is one that is loved. The universal salvation given to all humankind as they profess their love for the Lord through the precious cross. But lastly, I have to remind us all that rather than its universality, the cross is deeply personal. There's only room for one to be nailed upon it. Though our Lord was nailed upon this cross, he took our sins and our transgressions upon it with him. For us, however, there is not room to nail the sins and the transgressions of our brothers and sisters on our own cross with us. There is no room for judgment on our cross. There is no room for looking here and there, judging others, as we are placed on the cross of our own sin. It is a cross that we must bear willfully and voluntarily if we are to follow our Lord's commandments. So, just like a house from a TV show such as My Big Family Renovation, and it's really there, we were once created to be newly and vibrantly adorned. Though we eventually fell into disrepair as our inner beauty was concealed by neglect and carelessness. Then the master builder was called in order to transform us to the luster of our original beauty. The instrument that this master uses is indeed his cross. And this, my brothers and sisters, is what we learn from the Gospels, from the traditions of the church, the feast days of our faith, and Yaya's television set. Amen.